Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
And of course, we are talking about International Holocaust Remembrance Day. We've spoken about how it differs from a Yom HaShoah, but it is always a huge value, a significant value, to talk about this day. Paul Selmans, who is the lead curator of the exhibition Seeing Auschwitz, is a Holocaust expert. He joins us this morning. Paul, a very good morning to you. How are you doing?
Good morning. Very well, thank you. Pleased to be here. Thanks for having me.
A great pleasure. The whole issue and the whole notion of Holocaust education, I would imagine, is becoming more and more challenging for a number of reasons. Would you agree with that as a statement?
Yes, I would. It's always been challenging. There's been a huge amount of progress as well. It's not a small thing that the Holocaust is internationally recognized, that it's on very many national curriculums. There are a huge amount of teachers that are dedicated to teaching it, and international research has also shown just how interesting young people find this subject and how important and significant it is. On the other hand, there are major challenges, of course, such as Holocaust distortion, Holocaust denial, which has resurfaced and really become a much more significant challenge in the age of social media.
And of course, the people like Kanye West, who, well, I might think is moronic, but at the same time, bringing the Holocaust into that form of a discussion, making it maybe something defensible. I'm not quite sure where he was going with it, but that does the Holocaust education damage, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm not sure he really knew where he was going with that either. To be honest, it's made some very confusing statements, very worrying though,
yes.
Very troubling. So yes, it can do harm, because if people are not clear on how to access good, authoritative, accurate information, or if they don't understand how to read evidence critically, if they don't understand how we know what we know, then we're in quite serious trouble, aren't we? Not only in memory of the Holocaust, but in how we understand our world.
Right. And how do we deal with the Holocaust being used almost as a weapon against Jews or against people, against supporters of Israel?
Well, through education, of course, is a major way. I think one of the things which we need to do is to push back against some of the very strong images of the Holocaust that do get used actually tend to dehumanize Jews and other victims as well, because the vast majority of the images that we have today from the Holocaust were, of course, produced by the perpetrators, by their murderers. So there's a strong dehumanizing element in them. So the exhibition Seeing Auschwitz, for example, tries to help visitors to kind of read those images critically, to see that they're not neutral images at all, but to understand how we can read those against the grain, how we can try to rehumanize and give dignity to the people in those photos, and hopefully to create much more compassion and empathy. Also to restore the agency of the victims, who are sometimes reduced to a kind of passive mass. So again, I think a lot of our work and other good educational initiatives will emphasize how people struggled to respond to unfolding genocide. And there are very many heroic, courageous and inspiring stories there to be told.
Mm. In other words, talk about the personal story, not just this mass of people, because we can't relate to these numbers in any way. You know, and even things like the statements, which are powerful, you know, if we had to have a minute silence for each Jew murdered in the Holocaust, how long it would take. They're powerful images, but it doesn't really tell the story. It just gives us context, but not details.
Yeah, you're quite right. You need to find connections and resonance and relevance with people in the past. You need to give them their dignity back and to spend some time, because the enormity of the Holocaust can be found within individual stories. You know, the separation of family the murder of parents or children, the deep loss experienced by an individual can stand for the void, the devastation of millions.
Right. And it's well, you know, I mentioned this a little bit earlier on the show this morning. For me, for example, it's the memory of my grandfather, my late grandfather, who had fled Germany, refusing to speak German. Now, to me, that is in a way much more powerful than hearing about numbers, because I could see the damage that it did to him, that he would cut himself off from the language of his childhood because it was just too traumatic to be able to continue speaking. And that doesn't involve death. It doesn't involve anything other than human suffering and a result of what was.
It's such an important point that you're making there, that of course the Holocaust doesn't end for the survivors in 1945. There's a deep trauma which continues for decades for them, and very often even can be passed on intergenerationally as well. And the deep resonance of those crimes can still be felt to this day.
Can you give us a sense and give us a bit of an overview about the exhibition Seeing Auschwitz?
Yeah, sure. We're very fortunate and grateful that the Johannesburg Holocaust and Genocide Center is hosting it. It's an internationally traveling exhibition, which it's first time in South Africa. And so to reach new audiences is wonderful. It's free of charge. And it's a fresh look, a new look at Auschwitz. The history has been told and retold many times, but we're making an effort here to see Auschwitz from multiple perspectives. This is Auschwitz through images, through the visual image, photographs and drawings. The most dominant images in our collective memory have been those that have been created by the perpetrators. Uh-huh. And this is to some extent Auschwitz through the eyes of the murderers, but it's also Auschwitz through the eyes of their victims and Auschwitz through the eyes of the outside world. So it's a conversation with the viewer to see how each person, each group, perpetrators, victims, bystanders, if you like, or the allies, saw Auschwitz from radically different perspectives. And it also asks important questions at the end about whether we've really seen Auschwitz at all, if we have every decade since 1945 still had genocide scar our world, what is continuing to happen before our eyes, and what more can we do to prevent these things?
Absolutely fascinating and a fantastic opportunity for people. Paul Selmans, who is the lead curator of the exhibition Seeing Auschwitz, is a Holocaust expert. Thank you for taking the time to speak to us this morning.